And welcome in to the Friday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 125-1063, The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes, Benchmark Realty. Check out their new luxury listing, 6551 Brownlee at tjandersonhomes.com. I'm Joe Rex Road. Paul Kaharsky in for the new father, Robbie Stanley, second straight day of PK. Got Nick Keyser in here. PK, how are you?
Hi.
Oh, you're muted.
I'm counting on Nick to hit that button.
No.
I haven't had a conversation with him about it.
A little sit down, a little talking to.
I have to slip him a little, not a Mickey, a little.
I was going to say, like, finish that sentence quickly,
a
please.
Little bonus.
There we go.
I'm sponsored by Nashville Grass 365. Get yourself a great backyard green and turn yourself into your foursome's best chipper and putter. Check them out at nashville.grass365.com.
And there you go. And today we have a little grid. We have a little Excel file, which I don't know how to share, but
Nick
shared it with you. So, Nick, see, Nick's done some good things for you.
Yeah,
PK,
see, I'm ahead of you, Joe. It's all right.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And you're ahead of Jared, too. We'll get to that. I thought we would mostly get into, like, comparing our thoughts. We will get to that, but we've got some news. Before we get to the news, though, I think, Paul, we need to just – I think we need to – is it quash it? And, you know, I used to say squash it. Actually, the correct term is quash. We need quash. To quash it. We need – Let's. I thought yesterday was an amazingly entertaining half hour between you and Jared. It was. I actually took a really sweet picture. I meant to text you guys a picture of you guys talking to each other at camp in the rain. You got, and it was actually very nice. It was like you know, it was like the Lady and the Tramp sitting down with the spaghetti almost. It was really sweet. I'll send that to you later. But Jared had like a response, and he texted me, and I'm like, okay, I guess we'll play it real fast, and then like we'll be done with this. So let's play what Jared had to say yesterday on his show about you.
And I will say, I do like I don't think this show's perfect. I don't think any show's perfect. It's like baseball. Nobody throws a perfect game, and I certainly don't throw a perfect game. But that's what I would say about Paul. I'm issuing a challenge, and the challenge is that I will listen to the critiques if he can do 4 hours by himself on the radio, no guests, or he just admits that he can't do it. That's all I'm asking.
Okay, so that was Jared. First of all, a couple things there. People have thrown perfect games. Also, that does happen sometimes.
Yep.
But also, I guess I never realized how tough Jared thinks he has it. I thought he wanted to be alone. I thought Jared wanted 8 hours alone with
the
microphone.
Kicked Caroline to the curb.
Well, I don't think that's not how it went. But
yeah, it is how it went.
No, that's not how it went.
Well, he had somebody to be with, and he makes it sound like he has what he wants.
Yeah,
and he no longer has somebody to be with.
Yeah, he didn't. He did definitely didn't kick her to the curb. I mean, I think he liked doing the show with her. It's better for her to do what she's doing.
Well, certainly it's better for her to do what he's doing.
Yes.
Her to do what she's doing. But
I will say real quick, like, if it's so bad, have guests, right? Yeah. Like, okay, then have guests. I mean,
well,
but listen, anyway, your response.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. I'll be honest. I couldn't do 4 hours.
I could do a show, one show to, like, win the challenge, the dramatic challenge with no guests. Here's the problem. It's bad radio. 4 hours of one guy is an echo chamber that gives one guy a gigantic head. Example, Jared Stillman. So it's bad. It's the same things over and over. It's why Jim Rome turned into a blowhard. It's why Colin Coward, if you get in your car, he's saying one thing and you go run an errand and you get back in your car and he's saying the same thing again. And he says the same thing over and over. He's got an hour show that runs for 3 or 4 hours. One-man radio show. I do a one-man podcast for 30, maybe 40 minutes, and that maxes it out. That's about as long as you want to listen to one person. So I could do it. But, no, Jared, I concede. I don't want a four-hour one-man radio show. I did a great radio show with two guys for 9 years, and that's a way better way to do it. I don't think you could do that, by the way. I challenge you to that because you wouldn't let other guys get words in edgewise or do the thing where I chat with you and you chat with me about our opinions and you say something like,
oh, I see your point. I'm going to change my stance a little bit and have a sophisticated conversation where you and I start, Joe, at you're at point A and I'm at point B, but in the end, we both wind up more towards C. It's a kind of evolved thing, an evolution of opinions.
Yeah.
Instead of, I have this hot take, and nothing that you say can change me off this hot take.
Again, this is why the pilot episode of Stillian Pauly was amazing, and why over time, think of the evolution that you two could have with these conversations.
Well, as I said, I don't think evolution is his thing.
All right. So Jared's a Cro-Magnon. There's our
Those are your words, not mine.
Oh, all right. So on from Jared. First of all, we're going to get into Jamarco Jones, and I don't know if it's stunning. But it was sudden, that's for sure. But first, I do want to – we did have football last night. I did watch a little bit of the football, not a lot. I watched a little bit of Zach Wilson and Kellen Mond and, you know, saw some interviews with the Hall of Famers, Joe Thomas and whatever. How much did you watch?
Zero.
Zero.
Highlights this morning.
Yeah, not 1 second. And Nick Kieser, you were all excited yesterday. You watched the whole thing, or what did you do?
No, I didn't watch the whole thing. I didn't say I was going to watch the whole thing.
But
I did watch a little bit. I did not watch the entire game. I'm going to leave it at that. But
okay.
Did you go to bed, or did you have an alternative?
Alternative for a little bit.
What was the alternative, if I may ask?
The alternative was me hanging out with my significant other before bed, pretty much.
Okay, so it wasn't, we'll leave that vague.
Just having a good conversation. No, we actually had our weekend plans. So there you go.
It wasn't a television alternative.
It was not a television alternative.
If it was Big Brother, you know, I'm a Big Brother fan.
If it's
Rex Road family's excited about Big Brother starting.
If Big Brother is TikTok, then that's what I did too later on. Oh. So that's how kids kill time.
Hanging with the significant other to
get on that TikTok,
vegging on his cell phone, like, which is more what I did. I actually, I took a big nap in the afternoon, so then I was working in the evening.
So you got that nap in.
But I'm a day ahead riding, which is hard to do in Titans training camp.
Okay, well done. All right, well, you said off the air before the show that you were actually going to write something about Jamarco Jones.
I went home yesterday and thought, I should write that they need to get rid of Jamarco Jones. But I did not. I napped.
And then you woke up?
And I woke up. Jamarco Jones is an hour and a half after the transaction.
So, first of all, you've got full disclosure for me here. I didn't actually get a great look at either thing. I didn't really see Jones and Simmons. It was fast. We know that Jeff Simmons is on 100 at all times. And, I mean, yesterday, Simmons and Tannehill barking at each other was just hilarious. I mean, Simmons is always on 100. So, I mean, honestly, when I didn't see that, I just kind of thought, Jeff Simmons went a little too far. But the other guy's caught in the mix, so okay, so they both go. That's kind of what I thought, right? And then yesterday, Jamarco Jones comes out kind of like on a kickout block, and I'm on the sideline kind of blocked by the defensive players.
I was far down the sideline blocked by the defensive players.
So I didn't see it, but I just saw them being very angry. Azeez Al-Sher took his helmet off and was very upset. And then Vrabel sends Jamarco Jones away again. So overzealous block at least, right?
Yeah. I think it was worse than that.
So
I talked to one or two people.
Okay.
They were not pleased.
It was bad.
Yes.
Okay. So there's two. And again, Wednesday, they didn't have an actual practice. So that's two straight practices where he
didn't finish.
Now, is that enough?
No, I think there was other stuff. I think it's part of a larger trend.
Larger trend, because it's like, and it's interesting because Vrabel talked early in camp about knowing Jamarco Jones going back to high school, helping recruit him to Ohio State. They weren't there together because Vrabel left for the Houston Texans. It's a long-standing relationship. They brought him in last year. You know, injuries wash him out. Right tackle is dire at this point. I mean, for the first six games of the season, right now it's like Chris Hubbard and some young guys who are trying to prove they should be in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, right Chris tackle. Hubbard is the leader in the clubhouse by a lot. And look, I think this is
And you thought that before. Okay, so hold on. Before you
I thought Jones would be the guy. coming
but,
in.
But you said leader in the clubhouse by a lot. The thing is, the last two practices, because of Jones getting in these things, it's like, well, I have no idea what the competition is right now.
I just think, when do they throw rookies into big situations, low-ranking rookies?
Yeah, no, I agree.
I could start an undrafted rookie free agent at right tackle.
Or
a sixth round.
Absolutely. He's probably going to start. You're talking about a guy in Chris Hubbard who hasn't really taken a significant snap in the NFL since 2020.
No, I know. And George Fant, you know, they got beaten to George Fant by Houston. But look, George Fant got a much more significant contract. Titans wanted to pay George Fant for 6 games as a starter. And George Fant wanted to be paid for 17 games as a starter. Look, this to me dips into two trends. One, the Titans have been really bad with veteran offensive line backups since Dennis Kelly. Kevin Pamphile, Kendall Lamb, Jamarco Jones, Dennis Daly. David Quessenberry and Ty Sambrello were good in the 2,000-yard season when they went 3 deep at left tackle. But outside of that, this very important third tackle position has been a bomb, a real bomb. And Mike Vrabel relying on his high school relationship with Jamarco Jones and his mom is another this thing of being connected to guys. And look, everybody goes to people they know. I understand that. But, you know, Jonathan Joseph, Jadavian Clowney, I'm going to miss some names. Zach Cunningham.
Okay.
Randy Bullock. Kendall Lamb. That's a bad list of guys you used to know. It was okay with Deontay Foreman. It was okay with Quessenberry.
Yeah, I mean,
Michael Pruitt worked out.
Cunningham came in and played really well that first year.
Really well? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know about that.
The end of that year?
It was only a couple games.
And that's why they paid him.
It was only a couple games. And the thing is about some of these guys that they know. They know Jamarco Jones. They know Kendall Lamb. And where did they fail? They failed in the love ball category. So I got a beef with the Titans, whose number one qualification is you've got to love ball, bringing in guys that they know and having them not love ball.
Okay. You love ball. You love saying love ball.
Well, I think if your number one thing is a quality like that,
yeah,
that's a very identifiable thing.
So tell me who, okay, so tell me who, I mean, when you say love ball, to me the antithesis of that is Vic Beasley, which is not a pre-existing relationship guy.
Correct.
So who else are we? Who else are we lumping?
I don't think Clowney. Clowney gave up on that season.
Clowney is one of those examples of high level of talent, high level of need, right? I mean, and hope that the relationship helps make it come together. I mean, he was hurt too, but I mean, Clowney to me is when you have a certain level of talent, and especially when they were so desperate to do anything to affect quarterbacks. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of separate out.
The other thing is you should be able to bring out the love of ball in a guy like that. You know him. You've coached him.
Well, I think that was the idea with Vic Beasley. And it was like, oh, yeah, never mind. Yeah, that's not going to work out. All right, more on this. When we come back, I want to get into, I think, an adjustment that may be coming up front for the Titans. Maybe I'm overreacting, but I think it's possible now. On Robbie and Rex Show in the Game Studio, sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Was DeMarco's block on Gibbons fair game?
I don't know what that means. What's fair game? I don't use those type of terms. No, I don't. We don't want to practice like that and be a penalty in the game.
That's two times that he's disappeared from practice early. Is he hurting his chances?
Well, I mean, I think you have to just know how to practice. We talk all the time about being competitive and going to that line, and certainly not going to do anything that hurts the team. We don't want to see that.
How tough is that, Mike? Because, you know, a lot of what you talk about is preaching, you know, you want your players to be violent. But how tough is that to teach that and walk that fine line when you talk about it?
Probably have to ask the players. I'm not the ones out there doing it.
That was Mike Vrabel yesterday answering a series of questions from Paul Kararski, and then one from John Burton that turned out to be, I wonder, at that point, Paul, is Vrabel up there like, can't wait to go in there and tell Jamarco he's out of here?
Probably.
Yeah.
Fair game, by the way, is pretty.
Yeah, anyway, a crazy term that you use, fair game. I'm going to be watching, Vrabel. If you ever use the term fair game, we are going
to
remind you, buddy.
Now.
You better not ever say those words again. Hey, real fast, 102.5 The Game has a chance to win single-day passes at the Bourbon Beyond Festival, Louisville, Kentucky, Thursday, September 14th through Sunday the 17th. Text in keyword bourbon, B-O-U-R-B-O-N. Now to 615-737-1025 for your chance to win a pair of passes to the Saturday show, Black Keys, Black Crows, Avett Brothers, and more.
It's a spelling bee over here. I'm sponsored by Nashville Grass 365. If your dogs are digging up the grass or rolling in the mud, consider a turf play area with superior drainage. Head to nashville.grass365.com for more info.
I like how you related that to Jared yesterday, by the way. That was a nice touch. So
I used the pool, I think.
Got a pool and a pond.
Yeah.
So
sounds good for you.
So we got Jamarco Jones out. We got Chris Hubbard starting right tackle for the Tennessee Titans, I think. But I was surprised, Paul, and maybe you disagree with this. First day, I believe, or very early anyway, it runs together quickly. Mike Vrabel left open that. I think it was the pre-camp presser. He didn't just dunk on the idea of moving guys around. And maybe I read too much into that, but I kind of thought he'd be like, well, this is what we're doing. This is our offensive line. Well, we're gonna rep. We're going to give guys chances and speak in generalities. But he actually kind of said, like, at some point, maybe they would consider moving people around. I do wonder more and more as I watch the offensive line, where I think the interior has been okay and the tackles have not, if Peter Skoronski might get a bump outside at some point. Man, might get a look out there.
I'd prefer to see it myself, but I don't think they're as close as maybe we think, because I think they think Dillard's been better once pads have come on. And
do you?
Probably slightly. I mean, he hasn't given up seven to Key. I mean, we're setting the floor, which happened last Friday, according to Key, when Key did go crazy.
Yeah.
But also, Vrabel, I think it was yesterday, maybe the day before, really went in detail about inside out, building it inside out. And I think, that interior pressure, which eliminates a pocket for Tannehill to step up in. They'd much rather have Tannehill, A, step up in the pocket and continue to be able to look downfield, and B, take off up the middle instead of get flushed laterally and take off that direction. I think they view that as more dangerous in a lot of ways. Not that it's not that both aren't going to happen. And so if you're building inside out, inside out, inside out, I think they view what they're doing as safer. Also, you can't help a guard, but you can help the tackles. And so Wesco and Raider or Alizé Mack, Chig to a degree, can line up next to Dillard, next to Hubbard or whoever's at right tackle and help there. I am curious, though, like you are, what if you put Skoronski at tackle, try Dillard at guard, try Levin at guard. I think Levin might be a little nicked up now. Try Roos at guard.
Yeah, that's the thing. Part of the answer is, okay.
What's
then
the drop-off at guard
from
Skoronski to those guys versus the uplift from Dillard to Skoronski?
Yeah, like I definitely believe in the idea of if you can have your four apart from Petit Frere and build those weeks. I mean, 2019 to me, I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. And I know that some of it was Lawan missing and all that, but you think about bottom five NFL offensive line to top five NFL offensive line within the same seat, right? I mean, I think that may be not dramatic enough. So I like the idea of those four staying together and building and building, and then you just put in the one piece to the right. And I think long-term that's your better bet. Some of this also is like the Skoronski. It's not – you're not thinking career. It's whatever you can do this year to be as good as possible. But if you believe Skoronski is just – he is just a guard. It's what he is, and he's going to be a great guard. Then I think there's – or do you think a little bit, gosh, he could be a really good tackle, you know?
Well, I think if he's a great guard, you just don't draft a great guard at 11.
Well, I understand that, but, you know.
He's got to be a tackle, ultimately.
Yeah, you think so. Yeah, I disagree with that.
You need a long-term rock at tackle. This is a franchise
sure
that went from Hopkins to Roos to LaJuan.
Well, if he's
you
a great tackle.
You need the next guy.
Sure, okay. Well, if he's a
who's
great,
the next guy there? So they just bought 2 years with Dillard and put off another
they're gonna
decision?
Have to, well, they are going to be drafting high again to find the next guy. Well,
I think that's
– You think it's going to be Skoronski left tackle long-term and Petit Frere right tackle long-term, ideally, in their minds?
I would hope. And then you draft a third-round guard or fourth-round guard. You draft Nate Davis. You draft Benji Olsen or Zach Piller. I just still long for those days. Maybe those days are gone because they were about Mike Munchak more than they were about the draft. But you should be able to find third, fourth round guards who can play out a contract as a starter like Nate Davis did. Nate Davis had a bad ending, but Nate Davis was a quality third round starting guard.
Like in 20, he was great.
Yeah.
I hear you. Again, it's like to me, it's like the evaluation. It's like, what's the true evaluation? Is the true evaluation, yes, he can be pretty good at tackle. He's fine. There's some limitations. I don't know. Arm length. How much does that matter? I mean, it matters when you're going against long pass rushers.
Plus, if you put him at tackle and Hubbard is your right tackle, you've got it's got to be a record for the shortest arms pair of tackles.
The T-Rex tackles.
Don't think teams won't. I mean, you're going against some length, you're going to have some issues.
But here's the thing. If the evaluation is, yeah, okay, Skoronski can be – look, maybe this year you still have to do it. But long term, if the evaluation is, yeah, he is perfectly suited to be an NFL guard. Look, man, how many of the best defensive players in the NFL are interior defensive linemen? There's more than a handful of them.
Shifted in that direction, and maybe like guards become more valuable.
And as you were just talking about, that interior pressure, whenever anybody ever got to Tom Brady, why? Because
in
of
his
that,
face.
Right?
In his face, so not from his side. So got to stop that. I mean, you got to stop that first because the edge guys take a little bit longer to get there. But, I don't know. We obviously haven't seen a sign of it yet.
Yeah, we haven't seen a sign of it yet.
But it's very early. Still.
Yeah, we'll see. I may be off on that.
I think we'll all anticipating they look at
some
it
movement.
At some point.
So I got a question on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, 615-737-1025. Didn't Jamarco Jones have altercations in the locker room with Taylor Lewan last year, too?
Yeah, he threw a punch at Taylor Lewan.
Why did I forget that?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, so yeah, clearly, like, there's some. Now, look, Taylor Lewan is a guy who can invite a punch. I mean, as we know.
Sure.
By the way, you got some news on Taylor Lewan.
And look, if you're good enough, by the way, as a Jamarco Jones doing this kind of stuff, edgy attitude stuff, you know,
it's not necessarily the worst thing. Yeah.
Taylor Lewan is going to officially retire before the season starts. And I know that's not some big shock based on the pictures you've seen of him and how much weight he's lost and all of that.
He's a slot receiver.
But an official retirement is an official retirement. So that's coming.
Okay, so there you go. It was interesting. I thought maybe it would be delayed just because of the lawsuit, but I guess that doesn't factor in.
I mean, the fact that he's retiring, I think, in the lawsuit could say, like, look, I had to do it. And there may be paperwork reasons or financial reasons he's got to do it.
So when we come back, we'll stick with the offensive line, but we're also going to get into some more things that we saw. It was a very active and interesting day on the practice field yesterday with the Titans inside at St. Thomas.
I almost got knocked over by Ryan Tannehill.
I didn't even see that either. So we'll get into that. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Get out of the summer heat. Join us for craft brews, food, games, and entertainment at the 2023 Nashville Predators Craft Beer Festival. The fun begins on Friday, August 11th from 6:30 to 10 p.m. at Bridgestone Arena. Proceeds benefit the Preds Foundation, which supports Middle Tennessee nonprofit groups and programs in the community. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Rode here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Paul Kaharski in for Robbie Stanley.
Nashville Grass 365 is kind enough to sponsor my time here. Their Seal Turf Superior Synthetic Grass is a perfect solution for a playground or a high traffic area. Just go to nashville.grass.365. Nashville.grass365.com to find more details.
Hit us up on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, 615-737-1025. We're going to get into our takeaways from yesterday. Real quick, though, Joel asks, what do you guys think about Raidens? Dylan Raidens, long-term backup at guard. He wasn't terrible in that one start. He said against San Fran, it was against L.A., the Chargers. A lot depends, of course, how he recovers from the ACL injury. I think we'd both agree that Caleb Farley from that draft is, you know, he's trying to just hold on and stay in the league any way he can. I still think Dylan Raidens could be a rotational guy here, potentially, but I don't know that I would put much more.
I think he's got no future. I think they hate him.
Zero.
I mean, you know, potential out of desperation, try to give him a clean slate. But I think what happens is once they make a determination about you, they try to clean slate you, but they quickly see in you the qualities that make you unlikable to them again, and you go right back, you sink right back to where you were.
What a draft that was. All right, so yesterday, Paul, the big things that stand out to you from it was going to be outside, and then a bolt of lightning flash across the sky, and Vrabel.
You were loving that because you had all of your rainwear on. And
I mean,
ready
I had
to go.
I showed up 100%, like getting certain they were going to be in the bubble, and I'm like, wait a minute, what? They're going to do this outside? I'm not prepared for this.
I did too. I couldn't find my rain jacket, but I did find a ratty umbrella, so I was in good shape outside.
You were fine. You and Jared walking around the umbrella. It was very sweet. What were your big takeaways from the bubble?
So, and I tried to tweet this, but people took it as super critical. And it's hard for a guy to have a great day when he throws two picks. Malik Willis threw two picks, one in a red zone. Well, both in the red zone. One, I think, was 7-on-7. The second one was a fourth down force.
Yeah, kind of a desperation.
That he had to throw.
Mini Hail Mary.
I thought he probably had the best day that he's had.
I agree.
He was decisive, and I thought he made a lot of good throws, some of it in two-minute work. That was my biggest takeaway. I like what Malik Willis did. And he was back with the twos, I think, a day after Levis had been with the twos. So I really liked Malik Willis yesterday.
People did not, though, like,
I kind of tweeted, despite these two interceptions, which I detailed.
How dare you say facts, Paul? I thought he made a lot of decisions
and everything. And then everybody says, you don't point out the interceptions of the other guys. Let me tell you a secret about tweeting. I kind of try to tweet a couple big moments. Oftentimes they're interceptions. I think I've given equal treatment to interceptions. You know, if you want total play-by-play, follow A to Z. I mean, I think they do basically the entire practice. I don't do that. I try to tweet one or two big thoughts when practice is over. Because if you're tweeting the whole practice, if I tweet this play, I'm probably missing the next two plays. I'm not that great. I got to put on reading glasses. There's glare out there. You know, it's a process.
Right.
That was my biggest takeaway yesterday.
I'm with you. Yeah, Malik Willis was very good. There were a few. He ripped a few. I'm trying to remember. He had one. Robertson. There's a lot of still debate. It's Robertson, right? It's Robertson. It's not Roberson, right? You're on the Roberson team. Okay, you're on the Robertson team. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. So. He's been getting open a lot, too, by the way. It's almost weird how open he's getting. But
His speed is showing up. His ACL, I think, lasted a long time. He had a season end with the foot, and he had a season end with the ACL. But I think it was all the way back in 2020. So I don't know how it lasted into 2022. But I think of the emergent back-end receivers, he's doing as well as anybody.
Yeah, I think the best throw Willis had was, I think this was in the two-minute, before that pick eventually, but to get the offense down, he had a kind of little square into Kinsey, middle of the field, that he ripped one, and it was a really good pass. You know, pressure. I mean, again, they're playing for this is team. This is a team period. They did hurry up. I thought he was very good for the most part. Levis,
he had a dart to Chris Moore in the red zone.
Yes, that was also a very good throw. Yeah, and the Robertson one. That might have been his best throw. The Robertson one of the back core of the end zone. Levis was the one quarterback who got a touchdown scored, and he had a nice throw for the touchdown, but also before that, the throw to the Wesco. Very good catch and throw, Trevon Wesco.
Oh, that was a beautiful throw. Yeah. He layered it in between a safety and a corner, and Wesco showed good hands and went to the ground. That was probably the play of the day. The one Willis scenario, he hit Burks, who had to reach for it in the back corner. And this was a period where they were throwing a lot of back shoulder stuff to the back pylon. So DBs really knew what was coming.
Right.
They were doing it two-thirds or three-quarters of the time on that. These were kind of one-on-ones or two-on-twos.
A lot of backs running those routes even.
Yeah. And so he hit Burks there, which was a great throw. And then he came back and threw a pick to 40 on a play that was intended for Willis.
By the way,
roster in front of me is – To see who 40 is, I should know that.
It's Kendall. I wrote last week. I like this Kendall. I mean, again,
Anthony,
I know it's
Kendall. It's kind of surprising to me that
flashy.
Kendall's there in a matchup with Chig. You know, so that says something by itself.
Might say something about him. He's been a nice, at least right now so far, camp performer. Also, to your point on, you know, the linebacker situation right now, Jack Gibbons is. I mean, looks to me like he's in pretty good shape here. I mean, you know, we've got preseason games ahead and things like that, and you never know when these things could flip. But Jack Gibbons has been, I think, looking good. I actually think those two guys, which is a question mark, whoever's in there, to me, with David Long gone, I like how Azeez Al-Shaair has looked out there. He looks fast.
Yeah, he looked good yesterday. And the thing is, I don't know if I was talking to you about this. He wears number two. He's not a super thick guy. Every time I see him, I think he's a safety.
Yeah, for sure. No, but he's right now he's handling it physically. But Gibbons, talked to him a little bit after practice. Jack Gibbons talking about this competition. Nick, you have that? If not, it's fine.
I just tweeted.
No, that's all right. No, don't worry about it.
I just tweeted out my story for today. Why Jack Gibbons is ahead of Monty Rice so far for the Titans. And one of the things Rice says in here is, hey, man, they just put the ball down. They call me out there. Monty, you up. I go tackle the guy with the ball. It doesn't matter when I'm out there. It's not up to me. If I go tackle the guy with the ball, that's always the correct answer. That's what you're being judged off. That's what they pay us to do. So I'm just going to keep doing that till I can't do it anymore. On the one hand, you like that mentality. On the other hand, it's too simple. There's more to it than that. And Jack Gibbons is playing like there's more to it than that. And that's why Jack Gibbons is ahead. He thinks more broadly than that. He's got a more intellectual game. He's got a more intellectual game than that.
I asked him about just watching himself on film, you know, like if he watched himself on film a year ago, you know, it's kind of a cliche question, but you know, sometimes young players, there is a huge jump, and he said they actually put something up, you know, during camp, and he watched some reps, and he was like, man, it's hard to watch, you know, because he's made a lot of progress. So another guy who, to me, has really stood out.
Who's the third back? Like, I'm thinking completely in nickel, right? We're looking almost all the time at Al-Shaair and either Gibbons or
Rice.
Rice.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they're in base so little.
Yeah.
I was looking last night and drawing it out, and I'm thinking in a 4-3, who's the three?
Yeah. Well, wait, hold on. What do you mean in a 4-3?
Well, if they have four down linemen. No, sorry. 3-4.
Yeah, 3-4. Yeah.
So you got the two.
Man, if they've gone to 4-3, I'm really not paying attention.
Yeah, no. That was a dumb question. I got distracted.
But to your point, they are in the two inside backers, I think, more than they will be, for sure, right? No doubt. Now, they were, like, in 2 minutes yesterday, they were, like, in dime. So, you had McCreary and Molden.
This guy's not in dime.
Sure, right, yeah. Exactly. So, but a guy who I have been very impressed by, and I guess it's not some big revelation. He's played a lot of good football. But I forgot how good he can be is Amani Hooker. I feel like Amani Hooker has been all over a lot of stuff. And looks really fast and good, and they need that. Remember, not just the injuries, but I think when he was playing last year, at times he had to play in the slot, but he was also hurt, and I don't think as effective as he was when he got himself paid. Amani Hooker right now, to me, looks like the guy who got paid. And it's kind of an underrated thing that I'm seeing right now that could be nice for this defense.
I'm an Amani Hooker skeptic.
Yeah?
I think Imani Hooker gets covered up a little bit because we talk about Christian Fulton's injuries and we talk about Elijah Molden's injuries, and so we don't talk about Imani Hooker's injuries.
Well, that's fair.
And I need to see Imani Hooker healthy and out there for an extended period of time. And the thing is, Fulton's injuries have been kind of one thing, generally speaking. The last year it was two. Molden has a groin issue. But Hooker has a variety of stuff.
It's been all over the place. No, look, that's totally fair. I think what I'm seeing right now is like, here you go. This is what they need. They need that guy all year. Will they get it?
I agree with that.
Will they get it? I don't know. I will say this, and I do not want any Titans fans to get mad at me, but it's been kind of a astoundingly healthy camp.
Yeah, astoundingly healthy and astoundingly quiet. I don't know if you have a guy like this. I'm hoping you have an answer for this. Like, and I find this on most versions of the team. I have one guy who I just don't connect with on any level or have any interest in what he says.
Okay, so that used to be Ben Jones for you.
Yeah, it's Imani Hooker for me. Okay. I just, like yesterday, I sat there during his thing. I couldn't think of one thing to ask him. And he's engaging and he's willing, but I didn't find anything he said. Like, I didn't, like, go to my notebook and make a star, or the videos I took, I wasn't like, oh, I got to make something out of that, or I got to post anything out of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's certainly a very nice guy, answers the questions, doesn't get too deep into anything. So it's a lot of surface stuff. So. Yeah. Quotability is not super high.
You have anybody like that? That like generally, when if they're at the podium, you're just like,
well, yeah. Usually Derrick Henry.
Yeah, Aukerman.
Well, Aukerman is the most interviewed special teams coach in NFL history. There is no press corps who asks more questions. Hey, so then on kickoffs, you know, what kind of stuff are you looking for? You looking for like tackling?
I'm kind of torn on the Aukerman thing because they're obligated to make him available because he's a coordinator. But we're not obligated to take him for 10 minutes, but we feel obligated to take him for 10 minutes. I'm not sure why.
It's way too much. But Derrick Henry is my answer to your question. I mean, Derrick Henry, he was fantastic. Talk about the running back stuff last week. That was great.
Henry, you have to use in some way, shape, or form.
Sure. But I'm just saying, for the most part, he doesn't like to do it and doesn't like to say anything, right? Speaking of saying something, we're going to say some things because we got Call Your Shot Friday coming up. Robbie and Rex, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
The sports weekend has arrived. You know what that means.
Shoot your shot.
It's time for Call Your Shot Friday with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and The Game Nashville app.
And it is that time, everybody. Time for Call Your Shot Friday. I will tell you, though, real fast, tune into 102.5 106.3 The Game for driver interviews leading up to the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix presented by Lincoln Tech's NADC and Nashville Sheriff. The Big Machine Music City Grand Prix will be 3 days of racing, 3 days of music, one huge weekend event. Go to musiccitygp.com for tickets. Get ready to experience Nashville's premier speed and sound event this Friday, today through Sunday. And now I'm going to go back, PK. What we do on this is we go back and we revisit our shots from the week before. So, Robbie Stanley, home with young Allison, Robbie Heather, and young Allison Reese Stanley. His last called shot as a non-father. Chigakonkwo will lead the Titans in touchdowns this year with 11. So we have to remember that. That's a pretty good number right there. He said Tyjae Spears will be the star of the preseason and have multiple touchdowns in the first preseason game. It's an interesting shot because I could see Vrabel even having Tyjae be like, I don't want to play too much in the preseason. We'll see.
Oh, I think it'll be Chestnut or Ward.
Chestnut, Ward, Haskins. Right,
I think they gotta not put Haskins in the forefront of anything right now.
Okay, and he also
I think it would be dumb if Hassan Haskins is the headliner out of the Bears game.
Hassan Haskins,
who's facing a felony assault charge, led the Titans.
So you've already got your lead at paulkarhuski.com. He also has the Packers will make the playoffs this year. Nick, you said George Fant doesn't sign a deal prior to week one. He did. He signed with the Texans. Chris Hubbard won't be a starter. Well, that doesn't look good right now. But, hey,
on fire.
Who knew? Who knew what was going to go on? And Logan Cooley will ink a deal with the Coyotes and be up there with Connor Bedard in points. He'll score at least 55. We got to remember this one. And then you had Dalvin Cook on a one-year, $11 million deal.
He has not signed yet.
With who?
I said with the Jets.
You did say with the Jets.
He's going to sign with Miami.
Yeah, he's going to Miami? Okay. Okay. So, with that said, it's time for Callie Shot Friday. PK's first time. Let's just let you go first, buddy.
The U.S. women's national soccer team will get shut out by Sweden this weekend and come home in shame.
Wow, shut out.
Yes.
I think that's a shot. Yeah. By the way, a couple weeks ago, Nick's shot was at that they would beat Vietnam.
Okay, well, I got the score right.
They should have beat Vietnam 7-0.
Yes.
Should
you
have.
You did end up getting – yeah, we made him go more specific, and you did get the score exactly
Yes,
right.
I did.
All right, go ahead, Paul. What else you got?
Reggie Roberson will have a big game in Chicago in a week, and people will get far too excited about him.
Okay. Okay, I could see that. That's he is right now definitely making a lot of plays out there.
The New York Yankees' Nestor Cortez, who has not thrown since May 30th, is off the 60-day injured list, where he was with a rotator cuff strain. He will throw Saturday against Houston and Justin Verlander, and he will get shelled.
Are you sure that's a shot?
Well, they're counting on him to come back and give them some life.
Okay.
After their non-trade deadline activity. This is part of what's going to save them, getting their number two last year pitcher back.
Okay. Anything else?
That's it.
Okay. All right, Nick, you're called shots.
Well, I'm not going to go any soccer route here, so I'll save you that, Joe. But I'm going to give you two Titans ones. I'm going to lead off and say, and I think this is a more interesting battle for preseason. We may already have more of a feel of who may win this battle. I'm going to say Trey Wolf gets the kicker job. I'm going to say that outright currently right now. I will go as far to say that he wins that job by the third preseason game.
Okay.
That's what I'll say. My other one will be, because he got his bag over the summer, I'm going to say that Jeff Simmons gets 11 sacks this season. I don't think that's too far-fetched. I think he's on the upward trend as far as how he's going to go up against offensive lines, and I think he will be a stud this year. So Jeff Simmons for 11 sacks this season.
It's a big number.
The thing to do here is to make predictions that you can't check until January. Nobody will remember.
We try. We've done a pretty good job of keeping track of the long term ones.
All right.
So now you are part of this. You must remember that
he
said
mine are all pretty short term.
No, but you got to remember that Nick said 11 sacks.
Yeah, I'm not going to remember. That's why I just said
I probably won't either. Brandon, please remember this. All right, thumbs up from Brandon. Anything else?
No, I'm going to give you two Titans.
Oh, two Titans. Yeah. There you go. You're right. Okay. All right. Okay. I've got three. I've got one that I think is a shot. We'll save that for last. First of all, Shohei Ohtani will re-sign with the Angels.
How
is
long?
Is that a shot? I don't know, but I think that's a shot on its own. I don't have to be specific. That's a called shot.
Well, if it's 1 year, you know, to get back.
Okay, fine. A multi-year deal. All okay, right. A multi-year deal, a long-term deal. He will sign up to be an Angel long-term.
That's a big mistake for him.
It may be, but I say, and I think that counts as a pretty good shot.
Brandon says 10 years.
Okay. Is that right? No, he's shaking his head. All right, Peter Skoronski will be working at left tackle for the Titans after the first preseason game at Chicago. Okay?
Interesting.
That week, he will. And here's my last shot. And again, called shots, you put yourself out there. You know, I mean, they're not supposed to, most of them aren't supposed to happen. I mean, I don't know that this is going to happen, but I am looking at everything. I think Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is going to get cut and be on the practice squad this year.
Probably not.
Titans.
I disagree.
Oh, I'm sure you do. That's why it's a called shot.
This is amazing that you go from declaring him the number two receiver a few years ago.
Yes, that's what
to
happened.
To cutting him.
That's what happened. Look, I'm looking at the entire picture, and I'm looking at him like yesterday. Two drops, I can't, like he's dropping the
Who's
ball.
Who's making it instead of him? That's the big question. Like I could see it happening if they had some talent. They don't.
Well, you say that, but I'm looking at Racy McMath, continue to make plays, but he's more of a factor. Oh, okay, Jared. He's more of a factor. That's a very Jared commentary.
And I regret it.
Good. You need to be called out for it. Racy McMath is more of a special teams factor than Westbrook Ekwuneni.
Special teams matter less and less and less. The Titans consistently stink on special teams.
But
now
kickoff doesn't matter as much. But punting still matters.
So his job is half as important as it used to be.
And I also think that Racy McMath, first of all, I mean, look, I think he was actually going to be some kind of a factor last year before he got hurt, and I think he could be again.
Four catches.
I understand his production. He got last year wiped out, so he didn't have production. But that would be five. I mean,
Roberson beats out McMath right now.
Okay. Well, that's a hot take right there, too. I think that Westbrook or Kane on this team comes down to if they keep five or six. I think the fifth is McMath, the fourth is Moore, and I think it comes down to whether they keep a six. And I know this is a very hot takey take. It's Call Your Shot Friday, but I think that there's at least a reason to look at it and not completely call him a lock right now.
Here's the counter major thing to counter argument.
Okay,
and did you watch West Wing?
I didn't watch front to back every episode, but yeah, I watched a fair amount of West Wing.
All right. Well, the president didn't get along with his vice president, but, you know, the vice president said, why, well, you know, arguing with him about his lack of a role and stuff. He said, why did you even pick me for this job? And he said, because I might die. That's why Nick Westbrook Akina, I think, will be on the roster, because the second Hopkins or Burks gets hurt, which I'm saying happens, not might happen, you need Nick Westbrook at Keene.
Yeah, that makes sense. And the thing is, I don't know if, I mean, they may not
or
be able
Phillips.
To, and they may not be able to sneak him under the practice squad because he's done enough in the NFL that maybe not.
But. Though nobody had any interest in him in the one day where he turned down the Titans below tender contract and circled back and took what the Titans gave him.
That is a fair point. All right, we come back. We're going to get into – there's a lot of NFL stuff. We still haven't gotten PK's takes on a lot of that. Takes. I want takes from you, PK. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.